the 8 o'clock hour of Cairo Nights on this clear and crisp Soft Rock Wednesday. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Appreciate you spending your time with us. Us, in this case, is me, Aaron Mason. You can call me Mace if you like. And my fill-in co-host tonight is none other than Santa Cruz, California's own, the world-famous Jack Stein. Hello, Jack.
The world-famous.
Ooh. I'm hearing a little echo there.
Oh, yeah? Still hearing a little echo?
Yeah, a little echo.
Oh, no.
Sounds good. I can do my classic rock vocals.
This might be totally my fault on my end.
Ooh, that's funky. That's funky. Yeah, that's pretty bad. Anyway, the text line, 98973, that's the State Roofing text line. If you want to be a part of the conversation, please do. But we're going to get to what we're going to talk about here in the 8 o'clock hour. There's a spoiler alert coming up. It's not technically a spoiler alert, but it kind of is, where iPhones, if you see a character holding an iPhone in a movie, it's going to tell you something about them. We got some new info from a Hollywood big timer, and that's coming up in just a little bit. But first, Jack, you told me that you were interested in this story. It came out a couple days ago where the Washington State health officials, the Department of Health, proposed legislation that would change from a felony to a misdemeanor if you intentionally infect someone with HIV. How do you feel about this, Jack Stein?
We've had this debate in Santa Cruz and in California as well. And one of the things that I find kind of troubling about it is that they say, well, we don't want to stigmatize people who have HIV or people who have AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
And my thought was, well, of course you don't want to stigmatize those people, but wouldn't you want to stigmatize that behavior?
Mm-hmm.
And what I hear is, well, it's really rare and, you know, it doesn't really. But when it does happen, I think that it should be a felony. Of course it should be a felony if you're going around intentionally spreading disease.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Okay, I have two responses to that. One is, it doesn't happen a lot. Apparently between 1986 and 2019, there were 33 criminal cases here in Washington filed under the current HIV felony status, and three of those cases resulted in a felony conviction. But also, they according to this article in the Seattle Times, the Department of Health says that the current penalties don't have an impact on reducing transmissions or improving public health. And isn't that exactly what high penalty deterrence is all about?
I'm not totally sure that it should be about deterrence as much as it should be, because it is so rare, right? Mm-hmm. At this point, it's no longer about deterrence. Now it's about, well, if you do, you know, if someone does do this, what are the consequences for it? It's much more of a consequence than it is a deterrent in my mind.
Right. Yeah. I don't disagree with you. There are two Seattle lawmakers involved here. There's Democratic Representative Nicole McCree, who basically talks about stigma and how if people are stigmatized, like you said, they're afraid to come out and talk about it. I sympathize with that, but I'm not sure I agree with it, if you know what I mean. Like, I think that feeling embarrassed about something is not as bad as infecting someone with a potentially life-threatening virus, although I've heard people make arguments that, well, it's not, HIV is not a death sentence anymore like it used to be. You know, you can basically manage this thing. Apparently, there are almost 15,000 people living in Washington with HIV, and 81% of them are virally suppressed. That means they can't transmit the virus. But I don't know. I'm not sure that there's enough evidence, at least that I've seen, that would deserve readdressing this situation. Does that make sense?
It does, yeah. And I also, you know, I think now you turn on your TV and you see commercials for, you know, oh, I'm living with HIV and I'm walking down the street and then I go into the clinic and I feel so much better. It has become so much less, it's no longer stigmatized. I think we're so far away from the era of Elton John having to go into hospitals and holding babies who have been born with HIV. We're so far past that that now there is a very small percentage of people who feel bitter or feel vindictive, or maybe they just don't care, and they go out and they do this. Now, attributing intent, that's difficult. Someone, I don't know, they need a Facebook page or a Facebook post saying, I'm going to go infect people with AIDS.
Right.
But when it does happen, the consequence, in my mind, should be as severe as possible.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't want someone just to think, well, it's just a misdemeanor. Just a misdemeanor. I can get a couple misdemeanors under my belt, still be fine. It's pretty right. cool in the rap game to have a couple misdemeanors, you know right. what I mean?
Street cred.
Street cred.
As it's called. As I'm told it's called.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know this about me, Jack. I'm not in tune with the streets, as I think nobody says.
Wait,
except,
you?
Except
you,
people who are out of tune.
There's, you have to be in tune with the streets. You're Aaron Mason, dude.
Yeah, that's true. You know what? That's true. I'm going to go back to the streets and tell them that and see what happens.
They tell you to leave.
That's my plan. Yeah, go home, please. Thank you. Staying local, we talked about this yesterday. Amazon has opened the first of their Amazon Go grocery stores up on Capitol Hill here in Seattle. Now, they had the Amazon Go markets that you could go into, and this is a much bigger, about five times the size, full-on grocery store. And the thing is, you go in, you scan a smartphone, and then you walk around, you pick what you want, you put it in your bag, and when you're ready to leave the store, you leave the store. And there's no cashiers, there's no checking out, it's just automatically billed to the phone that you scanned. The fine people at GeekWire.com, they wanted to know, is there going to be a price issue here? There's a long established grocery store, a QFC, right down the street from this Amazon Go grocery. And so they picked out 17 items, the same in both places, and they did a price comparison. And what they found was that if you didn't have a QFC Advantage card, you know, one of those grocery store, you go here all the time, we'll knock a couple percents off of your bill here. If you did not have one of those, the difference on a $50 to $55 bill was about 10 bucks. So 25% cheaper at the Amazon Go. And this raises the question, Jack. When Walmart started taking over retail in the U.S., one of the biggest complaints was that they were coming in and they were undercutting prices. And they were driving because they were cheaper, because they could afford to be, because they were so huge that they were driving your mom and pop, your local businesses out of business. Are you worried about this type of thing happening with Amazon?
No, not particularly.
Yeah.
I think that people, if you want to go have that experience, right? If you want to go and walk into a store and feel like you're shoplifting, you go to Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're like me and you actually want to go and you want to interact with people, people are going to think this is a joke. I almost exclusively shop at bodegas.
Really?
They don't always have what I need,
uh-huh.
but they always have. I always feel like I'm walking out of there supporting local business. I'm a big local business kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
And they tend to do pretty well in places like Santa Cruz. Now, not as well as, like, let's just say a Trader Joe's, but it's still sustainable.
Right.
And I think that if people, not everybody's going to be into the high tech, I'm going to go into Amazon and I'm going to shoplift and then leave. It's going to be this whole thing about how, well, what about the mom and pops? What about the mom and pops? They will get their customer clientele.
Now, you say that. I don't know if Santa Cruz is like it is up here, but the author of this article, Taylor Soper for GeekWire, talked about how they were done shopping. They go home, made a little pit stop at Whole Foods up the street, mm-hmm. which Amazon owns. And after they left, drove by another Amazon Go convenience store. And before getting on the highway, an Amazon Prime delivery van passed him. So I don't know if they have quite the tentacles in Santa Cruz as they do here in Seattle. But there's if the past is any pattern, we will soon be, you know, overtaken. I think that's a serious risk here.
People do tend to fear big business, and I can understand why. And then I think to myself, well, the people are in control. Big business needs people like you and I to go and shop at it. I made a decision, you know, not too long ago that I could have easily done all my Christmas shopping on Amazon
mm-hmm.
if I had wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know what, maybe not this time. Maybe not, and of course, me not spending $250 on at Amazon isn't going to bring the company down.
Right.
But making that decision individually, I think you can just vote with your dollars. If you can just move through it and say, well, I'm going to be voting with my dollars for me as an individual consumer, that I don't just fear big business as many people are apt to do. I think it's wonderful if Amazon can keep pumping in these services. It's like a miracle of capitalism that they can do all of this.
Yeah, well, that, yeah, that it is. You say miracle, I say deal with the devil. But we'll just have to agree to disagree there. Okay, here comes the big spoiler for movies. If you watch movies and the intrigue, the plot, the twist is contingent upon not knowing who the bad guy is, director Rian Johnson has cued us in on an apparent thing that happens in movies. You'll know Rian Johnson. He directed The Last Jedi and a bunch of really good movies. Knives Out is his latest one that a lot of people seem to love. A big murder mystery, whodunit, everyone's a suspect. But he told Vanity Fair that, you know, Apple has a lot of control over how its products are viewed and seen on TV. They say that their product should only be used in the best light and in a manner of context that reflects favorably on the company and their products. So they don't let bad guys use iPhones in movies. And saying this, not only, spoiler, next time you watch a whodunit, but Rian Johnson says that every single filmmaker that has a bad guy in their movie that's supposed to be a secret wants to murder me right now. And I don't think he's wrong. Does this, what do you think there, buddy?
I mean, I was just trying to go through my brain about when was the last time I saw a bad guy with an Apple phone, and I can't think about it.
Yeah, because Apple won't let them.
Right.
They won't let them.
If you're controlling your product that much, if you're just so, we don't want any bad guys to be holding Apple phones, I think that kind of shows what you think about your product, right? They want it to be happy and upbeat, and we're Apple. Everyone loves Apple. I love Apple. I can't get enough of it.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the T-shirts. I've got the hats.
Uh-huh.
I've got the keychain. I got the phone, and I've got the computer. Two of them. Did I tell you that I named my Computer J?
Computer J?
Computer J. I've named everything that I own. It has a name. Like Phone J has a name. Computer J has a name.
Is it a sequence of letters? Are you working up the alphabet?
Nope. Just everything is just named what it is and then J.
Okay. That keeps it simple.
As far as Apple not letting... I mean, what is another product that we've never seen a bad guy have in their hand? What's another... They're that tightly controlling over that product.
A stuffed Mickey Mouse, perhaps?
Maybe.
That's probably not a thing. I know that this is... Wired, back in 2002, had an article where they pointed out, they were talking about the show 24, and all of the good guys in 24 use Macs, and all of the bad guys use Windows PCs. That's 2002! That's a solid minute ago.
But that's the way the world works. If you're a hero, you're using Apple, like Jack Stein. You have to be using Apple products.
I was waiting for that.
Yeah.
You know who is a hero? James Bond. And the new James Bond, the 25th James Bond movie, No Time to Die. It stars Daniel Craig as the titular James Bond in his last shot at the role here. We just figured out, you know, Billie Eilish did the theme song. We talked about that a couple weeks ago when that came out. We just learned how long the thing is going to be. And it's the longest Bond film ever, 2 hours and 43 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it me or are movies getting insanely long?
I think they're going to have to crank because, you know, the next Bond is going to be a woman.
That's what I hear.
And I think they're going to try to cram two movies into one.
The handoff.
I have never been more disappointed in my life. I do not want a lady James Bond.
You don't?
I don't want it at all.
Why is that?
Because he's James Bond. We're not going to make like a Wonder Woman. We're not going to make Wonder Wally, right? We're going to...
Can we?
No, we can't. We should just leave. James Bond is in my world, childhood hero. Everybody wanted to be like James Bond, drinking, fighting. The idea that you're going to take this iconic character and make it a lady, I'm so disappointed. I can't
really
measure the level of disappointment that this causes me.
Really?
Yeah.
It doesn't bother me in the slightest. I'm actually excited about it because you've got it. I think it broadens the scope of the character, right? You've had so many different iterations of Bond, so many different takes on it, and they've all been from, you know, an older white guy's perspective on the world. And so this is an opportunity to show that, like, you don't have to just be an older white guy to be badass,
yes,
to be James Bond,
yes,
to do this stuff.
Yes,
I think
do.
It's inspiring. You do?
Yes.
No.
Because if James Bond becomes a woman, that totally shifts the narrative of the character.
Does it?
It completely changes what James Bond is supposed to represent, which is my male fantasy, drinking, fighting, gambling, shooting, running. That's what I want. And if it's a lady...
Objectifying women.
Exactly.
Ah, DB!
Exactly. How can I connect with a James Bond that's a lady? I can't. Maybe Sarah will be able to, but I'll be there falling. It'll be a rom-com. It'll be James Bond rom-com, and I don't want that. I want drinking and fighting and shooting, and I want it to be a man.
First of all, women drink and fight and shoot, too. Second, DB's ready with this bell. I think it's smart. I think you've seen with Daniel Craig's James Bond, and I think he's been a great James Bond. Mm-hmm. I like his style. I like him in the role. And in these, you know, latest Bond movies, they've really dialed back on a lot of that stuff. He's not, you know, Sean Connery. He's not Roger Moore. He's dialing back on all that stuff that, honestly, if you want a franchise to flourish that's been around this long, if you want it to still have legs with a modern audience, I think there's an argument to be made that you have to sort of adjust those types of things. You know what I mean?
They're going to ruin it. It's going to be ruined. It's going to be terrible. I'm already disappointed, and I haven't seen the movie. I'm already deeply disappointed.
I got a tip for you. There's a bunch of Steven Seagal movies on Netflix that have been made in the last, I don't know, less than 10 years that will satisfy all of these things for you. We'll check all these boxes.
Okay.
I think they were all made in Hungary. I think they were written by Steven Seagal. It's incredible. It's one of the greatest
slightly
things.
Slightly better. Just a little bit.
You should. I promise. You need to check it out. Wheel segment's coming up at 8:45, but before that, we got some sports to talk about with our girl Stacey Joe. She's coming in next. You're listening to Cairo Knights. Soft Rock Wednesday,
Stacey. Oh, that's
Stacey.
What I was going to say.
Yeah.
Sounds like Soft Rock Wednesday.
Come on. Can you go for that?
SRW. There you go.
No can do. Philly Legends, Hall & Oates. You're welcome, everybody. We drank the same water growing up.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know that?
Yeah. Philly guys.
Okay.
Stacer the Racer.
Oh, God, that's such an awful nickname.
First of all, it is. I don't know why it sticks.
Does it stick?
Yeah, I've called you that like around the office when you're not paying attention to me and I'm just, you know, like a gnat.
I never pay attention to you.
Fair. Fair. I love this diva attitude you're coming
in with
today.
I know, and I'm looking at my phone, but it was because I was pulling up Russell Wilson's Twitter feed.
Well, that's fair, okay. Because old Russ, old number three,
yeah,
is in the news today.
Yes.
The quickest setup of all time, they're doing the collective bargaining agreement in the NFL right now, which they do once every 10 years.
A labor agreement between owners and players.
You got it. So there we are. And apparently, Russ ain't happy.
Many players are not happy.
Okay.
So this actually, the new collective bargaining agreement, or CBA, passed through the player board of representatives. So the players from one player from each team. It was 17-14. One person opted out. So even then, there it was not close to a unanimous decision. There's
right.
a lot of still dissent among players, at least the player representatives, and there are players, well-known players, Aaron Rodgers, Quandre Diggs, Russell Wilson, Richard Sherman, who have openly opposed, J.J. Watt, another guy who openly opposed the CBA. And the there's a couple different sticking points for a couple different guys. Aaron Rodgers, for instance, wants to see some more changes to off-season programs and training rules, while other guys might have an issue with the lack of pay for a 17th game. It was
because they're talking about adding a 17th game to the season.
It was capped at $250,000, which I know people hear that number and they think, well, what's the big deal? But if I'm being told I'm getting paid X amount for a game, and then you tell me suddenly that you're going to have me play another game, which is a big toll on my body,
yeah,
and I could suffer a huge injury in that game. If I go out and I know I might break an arm or a leg or tear a ligament,
right,
and you're telling me I only get paid half of my salary,
right?
What?
Yeah.
But the reason we were talking about it today is because you so rarely hear guys like Russell Wilson or Tyler Lockett speak out about these things.
Mm.
And both have been pretty openly saying that they're opposed. So Russell Wilson this morning, by the way, was when the Player Board of Reps voted to have the new CBA go to a full player vote, where
okay,
like something like 1900 players can vote on it.
And
so
that's
the final stage.
Okay.
But so that was passed this morning. So Russell Wilson tweeted, the @NBA and @MLB are doing it right. Players come first. All NFL players deserve the same. We should not rush the next 10 years for today's satisfaction. Mm. I vote no. Mm. Another really important thing to note is that they have another year to get this done. The current agreement they have will not expire until March of 2021.
Okay.
So owners are obviously in a hurry to get this done for a couple different reasons. John Clayton was on with us earlier today at 2 p.m. and he said he feels like it's all just TV deals and TV money. So there's still self-serving reasons that owners are pushing it through. It could be that they don't want to dedicate a certain percentage of gambling profits to players,
mm-hmm,
knowing that sports betting is about to become a huge,
mm-hmm,
thing. And so they're purposely being coy about not, you know, dedicating 10% or 20%.
Yeah, let's get this percentage passed before it really becomes a big thing.
Exactly. I think one big problem with players is that 17th game is kind of like your trump card. It was this big thing that you would be willing to sacrifice. Okay, we'll add a 17th game. If I'm giving you my trump card and I'm saying this is my big thing that I can get the most back for, and you aren't giving me a lot back,
right,
then I'm just giving you this thing so that you can reap more money. And Dave Grosby was on with us too, and I asked him, well, what do you say to people who text in, and I see it all the time, people who text in and say, why do I care if owners are getting paid $1 million less when they're already millionaires? And he's like, well, you're not paying them. Either someone gets paid $1 million more for playing, or someone gets $1 billion more for not playing. That's your choice.
Right.
You can either not care or you can look at it that way, but you're not paying the players. So
yeah,
if your thing is, well, I don't love players that get paid $1 million, well, an owner's about to make a couple billion, so...
Yeah, why not give it to the guys who are doing the job?
Right.
Right?
Right.
Like, that makes sense
And
to
this
me.
Isn't money that they need to, like, oh, we have to make sure we pay the janitors at the stadium. This is about making more money and more,
right,
revenue. This isn't to keep the company afloat. The NFL is doing fine.
Is this usually how this goes? I mean, is it?
Yeah.
Do they tend to wrap these things up quickly, or it's a
drag? Labor disputes in sports have been a big thing. There's been lockouts in leagues before.
Mm-hmm.
There was a year where there was no salary cap in 2010 because it was kind of in between negotiations.
Uh-huh.
So there have been, anytime you get to that 10-year window, at least in the NFL, but certainly in other leagues, of where there's once again the players' union or a union negotiating with owners, there's always going to be disputes because they want two different things.
Sure.
Players want, just like employees, you want the best job, you want good health care, you want a share of profits. If you're contributing to it, you want what an employer wants,
yeah,
or an employee wants,
yeah,
and the boss wants
what the boss wants.
Right. And so you're always going to have a fundamentally opposed kind of incentives for these two groups.
I don't know if you know the answer to this question, but how does the Players Association, ostensibly the NFL Players Union,
mm-hmm,
how does that stack up against the NBA and the MLB, their sort of player unions?
It's a great question because it leads to a totally different kind of debate, where the NFL Players Association, that group has I think, less power as opposed to NFL owners. And part of that, I think, is because it is a bit newer in that the NFL, the profit that the NFL makes has ballooned with TV deals. And that is a little more recent. Obviously, it's still decades old.
Sure.
But the kind of money the NFL makes is to where the owners have a ton of power and the players have over time gained more, but it's an imbalance.
Okay.
I think power is more balanced with the NBA and with the MLB.
And you would argue that players get, on the whole, fairer deals in the NBA
MLB. Right. And then you have some people like Boy Howdy, who is in during our show. He was talking to me about this and was like, well, then you have, and he's like, I'm very pro player all the time during this stuff. But what you risk is, you could potentially have a league that becomes less watchable. Like, he's like, you know, is the NBA a less enjoyable product for fans because it's just not as competitive as it used to be? Or, you know, there's other stuff that goes into
right.
that. I personally don't think that a 1% increase in the money that players could make over 10 years
is going to break the NFL.
Absolutely not.
Right.
The NFL is America's sport.
Yeah.
It is the most watched thing
on television. Yes.
It's the most successful pro sports league. It's not going to go away because owners agree to take 51% of profits instead of 52%. And so I just, again, it's once again something that has continually surprised me that people are very anti-player with this. There you go, Aaron.
Nod that head.
Flying my wings.
That's Stacey Joe. You can hear on Tom, Jake, and Stacey every single day on 710 ESPN from noon to 3. Thank you, Stace.
Thank you.
We'll be back with more Cairo Nights.
Bye. He's broken away.
Happy Soft Rock Wednesday, everybody. Welcome back to Cairo Nights. It's your boy, Mace. Hanging out tonight with the world-famous Jack Stein out of Santa Cruz, California. How are you feeling tonight, Jack?
I'm doing well. I'm excited for this next segment.
Yeah. I had you in mind when I initially thought about it. I think it's going to be good. So let's dilly-dally no further. Frank Shires is here. DB is here, of course, because we're going to spin the wheel of segments. Yeah. Round and round. She goes. It's a she, by the way.
I did not know that.
Yeah, the wheel identifies as female.
You know, the pink was a giveaway.
Was it?
Well,
I thought it jazzed it up
also
a little
blue,
bit.
There's also blue on it.
Yeah. It's, you know, green, yellow, all the colors of the rainbow, Frank. It's question of the day, to no one's surprise. It's still a little sticky. That's fine. Text your answers, please, to 98973. That's the State Roofing text line. This is a good one tonight. I'm excited about it. What is something that you think gets an unnecessary amount of hate? What's something that people love to hate on that you just go, I don't think it's that bad? Jack Stein, would you like to go first?
I'm reading about Michael Bloomberg's new hat. Have you seen this hat?
Oh, not a socialist?
Not a socialist.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a very good looking hat, but when I went down into the comments, people are outraged at this hat.
Mm-hmm.
And it fits this so perfectly because it's just a hat. And everyone is saying how mean it is and how it's discriminatory and that it's potentially racist. And I think that's an unnecessary amount of hate for a hat.
It's just a hat.
It's just a hat, dude.
Look, we hate hats these days.
Yep.
It's something that apparently we're good at. And it's not wrong.
No.
Michael Bloomberg is not a socialist.
Mine would just say a Jack Stein on it.
That's a Jack Stein. What do you say, Frank Shires?
Hunting.
Ah,
I learned about this when I was over at in Coogville, Washington State University.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite courses was with the head of the zoology department, Zoo 440, which is a lot on habitat. And he made the argument, and it's correct, by the way, that we have destroyed all the predators that thin populations of animals like ducks and deer and whatever else that we hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And his argument is, unless you want those populations to die ugly, awful deaths of starvation because they overpopulate. Human beings have a role in thinning the populations unless you want to bring back the predators.
Right.
Right? And from that point forward, it was like, oh, okay. I used to hunt ducks with my dad. I didn't feel bad about it at the time, but I know there are people who just think it's an awful thing.
Yeah.
It's not.
I don't, it's not for me.
Yeah.
I shot a bird once and I still feel bad about it.
Yeah.
That was like 20 years ago. but I get it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I'm with you there, Frank. I'm with you. What about you, DB?
I've said this before, and I think I still believe it, and that's I think popular music, like pop music in general, in the current era, gets a lot of hate. And I think, yes, there is a lot of crappy music out there being released. But the thing is, there's just a massive amount of music being released. So there's a lot of really good music as well being released. I mean, even Justin Bieber, I know we love to hate the Biebs, but his new album that he's coming out with, he's got this song Yummy on it. It's actually pretty darn good. And I like some of Harry Styles stuff that he's coming out with. I mean, there's a lot of pop music that it's not in vogue to like it if you're sort of a music aficionado, but it's, you know, there's some good stuff going on out there.
Did you hear about Biebs with this new album? He broke a record that was held by Elvis since 1961. The youngest solo artist to release 7 consecutive Billboard number one albums.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep. And the estate of Elvis, like, reached out to him on social media, and they were like, dude, music history, congrats.
Oh,
they were cool
about
nice
it. About
no, they were
it.
Cool
right,
about
right.
it. Yeah, totally. 253 says one of my two picks. I had two in my head. So I'm going to let 253 say it. Nickelback.
No.
People hate Nickelback. Listen.
It's a horrible band.
But they, here's how I judge them. What are they trying to do, and are they nailing it? And yes, they're making dude rock for bros, and that's what they're doing. And dudes love it.
Have they ever had a top hit?
Yes, several.
Photograph, You Remind Me, all the classics.
Yeah, big hits. They sell out all over the place. They put on one heck of a show, I'm to understand. Yeah, you really get your money's worth. Well, I mean, there you go.
You get a nickel's worth.
If you don't, that's right. You get your nickel back when you leave. I just don't see.
Are they still making music? Like, are they still releasing stuff? As far as you know,
as far as I know, yeah, they're at least still touring.
I think we'd know it because people that hate them would be cheering if they were no longer around.
Well, it became a little less in vogue. You know, we we're a little bit tired of it. But boy, did we have a heyday!
What's your other thing?
Where we just threw shade? Guy Fieri.
What?
People hate TV chef Guy Fieri. And listen. Is his aesthetic appalling? Yes. He doesn't know how to wear sunglasses on his head. He puts them back behind his neck.
What show does he do?
He did Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Oh, okay.
Was his big one. That, he hosts, like, Guy's Grocery Games
now. With the blonde hair?
He's got the blonde tips and the bowling shirts. He's straight out of, like, Sammy Hagar's Cabo Wabo Island. But listen, the guy is a good businessman.
Yes.
He's good to his employees.
Okay.
He donates a lot to charity. Like, he's a good dude.
He always has his kids on. Guy's Grocery Games is another one.
Yeah.
And he has his kids on it constantly. He seems like a really good dad, too.
Yeah, I bet. But
he brings bank for the network.
He sure does.
Yeah.
And the food he did, the places he covered on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, great. Great food. So I you know, I'm not a fan. But let's ease off. Let's ease off, old guy Fieri. 9 o'clock hour, the home stretch. It's coming up next. You're listening to Cairo Nights with Mace and the world famous Jack Stein. Watching in slow motion.